Hi, and welcome to the next episode of Microsoft Dev Radio. I'm your host, Jerry Nixon, and I'm excited to be here with a special co-host, a friend and colleague of mine, Matt Harrington, a fellow evangelist. Matt, thanks for being on the show.
Great to be here, Jerry.
Matt, thanks for helping me out. This is exciting. Today we're going to be talking about F-sharp. I know it has a special place in your heart. First, let's just start. Who are you? And let everybody kind of learn who you are.
Sure. I'm Matt Harrington, a developer or technical evangelist in San Francisco, California. I've been with Microsoft for 2 years, and it really was F-Sharp that introduced me to the world of Microsoft development. And I started the F-Sharp user group here in San Francisco and then was hired on as an evangelist after that.
We're here with Evelyn Villegas, Kenji Takeda, and Don Syme, some of the core people. Guys, let's go around the room and learn who all of you are. Evelyn, if you don't mind, let's start with you. Who are you?
So I work on data-driven research, and I really bathe in the information-rich space. As you know, we are all in the middle of big data, and so what I work on is programs to make machine understand data. And the other part is also ways so that human can actually understand the results of what machines bring back. So things, visualizations, for instance.
Excellent. Kenji, tell us who you are.
So I'm a solutions architect based in Microsoft Research Cambridge, and I get to do a lot of really fun things, largely with the community and the research community. So F-Sharp is amazing, trying to program against the web, but also get to have lots of fun with things like Connect and even environmental science and big data. So I have a great job.
Now, Don, tell us who you are, and be sure and tell us who you are in the context of F-Sharp as well.
Yeah, hi. I'm a principal researcher at Microsoft Research in Cambridge, and I worked on a range of different programming language things at Microsoft over my time here so far, and I kicked off the F-Sharp language design back in the noughties, and I worked with the Visual F-Sharp product teams through the Visual Studio 2010 and Visual Studio 2012, bringing the language through to its 3.0 edition. More recently, we've become much more interested in the integration of data and programming. And that's really largely the background of what we're talking about today, which is the latest release of TriF-Sharp. And that is really a site which brings out how simple it can be to integrate information sources, really big and rich and very empowering data sources into the programming experience. And so I think these days when we think about F-Sharp, we think much more about a data-rich programming experience, probably much more so than even a functional programming experience.
So why don't you tell us what TriFSharp.org is?
Yes, absolutely. Actually, as I was listening to Don, I really come from the data and information space, right? And that's actually how I got so interested in the latest version of F-Sharp, which brings this semantic information metadata at the fingertips of our programmers. So TriFSharp, in a nutshell, is really about bringing the latest features of F-Sharp 3.0 into your browser. And for somebody like me who likes to play with data and who likes to have a very low barrier to entry to programming, this is just fantastic. And the community I work with, specifically the semantic web community, so that's one thing. So it's about bringing those features. And the other thing, actually, we brought new experiences to try F-Sharp. So then these experiences, I can summarize them. One is about learning the language, obviously. And there, depending on whether you are a novice, we have tutorials to help you learn just what F-Sharp is about. And then as we become more into the domains, when you go to the TriF-Sharp site, you'll see that we've made a lot of efforts to bring tutorials to talk to the data scientists and to people who do analytical programming. For instance, people also doing financial, work in the financial domain. And last but not least, now we have two new experiences. One of them is about being able to actually create code, right? It's about not just learning, but actually doing. And so that's what we enable people to do now on TriF-Sharp. And of course, now that you have created, how about you share it with the community? So TriF-Sharp is really about learning the latest features of F-Sharp and this information-rich programming, bringing the semantics. The way I like to put it is really bringing the metadata at the fingertip of the programmer, working with different data sets, rich, semantically rich data sets, and then being able to create code and finally sharing it.
So just to drive home one of those points, let's pretend that I don't know F-sharp and I'm listening to this podcast for the first time, or maybe I've heard something about F-sharp in the past. I might not even have a Windows PC, and let's pretend I don't have Visual Studio. Let's pretend I'm a Mac user. So this site is really geared towards that person, right? So someone who wants to take F-sharp for a test drive for the very first time, they don't have the F-sharp compiler installed. If you just visit that site, tryfsharp.org, you can actually run F-sharp code in the browser. And in addition to that, we have tutorials there to guide people through the language. We have certain scenarios, certain types of problems are addressed to sort of kickstart people in their F-sharp exploration. Is that right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Great, great. And then so I did take a look at some of the scenarios that are addressed there. And so Kenji, what can you tell us about information-rich programming in F-sharp?
So it's pretty interesting when you think about computer languages and kind of where we are is that, you know, basically they're kind of designed for processing numbers, right? But when we actually look around the world and we look at, you know, our smartphones and we look at our, you know, all the services that we get, basically, you know, it's about information. And, you know, as we move to the cloud and, you know, F-sharp's great for sort of agile programming, you know, it's how do we take that data, turn it into information, turn it into useful apps for people, okay? And actually, if we think about languages, you know, way back to, you know, things like Fortran and then into C++ and then into Java and C#, okay, they're kind of event-based or they're based around numbers, but not really about this kind of human information, human-scale information. And that's what we really talk about as information-rich programming, is where with F-sharp and the new F-sharp 3.0, we can really take that information, that sort of human-centric information, and pull it into the language right at the sort of fingertips of the developer. So we call that IntelliSense for data.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. So F-sharp has a rich history with functional programming, but it's also addressing the problems of the future with information-rich programming and the new sorts of problems that come up from just internet-scale data. So that's pretty interesting stuff. So I know that I'm excited about tryfsharp.org because it allows me to go to students and professors and say, you know, F-sharp is a really great language for teaching computer science, and let me get you started in just 10 seconds here. Open a browser and you're up and going. And I think that you've done some work with University College London, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, F-sharp is really being used quite a lot by the finance industry because they need, you know, they're writing really complex code, right, to do a lot of these calculations, be it an investment bank, pension company. And F-sharp's just really good for that, right? It's functional. Mathematicians think functionally, okay? So they really like programming in F-sharp. And UCL has the biggest grad school for financial computing in Europe. And so we've been working with them, and they work with people like the Bank of England, you know, the Federal Reserve, and obviously a lot of the big banks. And it's really about getting this next generation of, you know, software engineers to go in to, you know, really create much better solutions much quicker. And the UCL folks just love it, you know, this F-sharp. They're just jumping all over it.
I think a lot of the problems, so not only do I think F-sharp is an interesting language, but a lot of the problems that people use F-sharp to tackle are very interesting, such as I think the students at UCL were working on ways to identify systemic risk in the European Union banking system. And F-sharp, I imagine, would be a great tool because, as we mentioned earlier, it can really reduce time to market between an idea that people want to explore quantitatively and actually written code.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, through TryFsharp, what we've done is we've created these tutorials. So, like you say, the students can rock up to class or, you know, they're just on their laptops at home and they can run through these tutorials. And there's information-rich programming, what we call these type providers, allows them, for instance, to just dive into, you know, a Yahoo Finance feed, publish to CSV files, and they can pull those things straight into TryFsharp, and they can start running these calculations, and it literally looks at, you know, the stability of 20 banks and how they affect each other. And it's, you know, pretty complicated kind of mathematical code, but it's really easy. It's all in the browser. We've got HTML5 visualization in the browser, so it's just this kind of ability to, you know, mash up data, you know, write complex maths against it and visualize it just all in a web browser.
So Don, Kenji's been talking about information-rich programming, and at the heart of that in F# 3.0 would be type providers, and probably many of our listeners won't know what a type provider is. Can you dig into that a little bit?
Yeah, what we've done with F# 3.0, which you can go and try in F#.org, is to effectively like open up what is a library in the language. So instead of we're so used to a library being a fixed set of classes and types and some methods that go along with those, and you can go look at in the object browser, and that's you can look at the DLL, and that's your library. With F# 3.0, we've kind of opened that up to be a plug-in model where you can plug in components which effectively compute libraries or types on demand. Okay, so those are called those components that you plug into the F# into the F# compiler, into the F# interactive, or into the F# Visual Studio, F# IDE. Those components are called type providers. Now that's that's following a pretty well-established path in computing. You take something and make it into a provider model. But what is really unbelievable is the applications of this feature, and that's where TryFSharp really fits in, because you can go to TryFSharp and you can explore really well-written tutorials on applications in data science domains, first of all. And what we see there is the people using this type provider mechanism to take unbelievably enormous data schemas, data sources, plus very large data schemas, and making them available in a strongly typed way in the programming language. And this is much bigger than the kind of schema that can be dealt with in any other programming language. So by going to try F#, you're experiencing something, your language, if you're not an F# developer, you're experiencing something that your language can't do. Okay, so if you think F# is like just C# with a different syntax, you're wrong. Go and take a look on try F#, and you will experience a level of data integration and a scale of data integration that can't be reached by other strongly typed programming languages. And we see applications to open government data. We see that to encyclopedic data. We see applications, some demonstrations of what that means, apply Hadoop kind of systems or to data marketplaces, unlocking thousands of government data sets. And it really is an incredible experience to just have all of this, to suddenly have your programming living in this ocean of data that surrounds us in the modern web programming context today.
Yeah, I think that echoes sentiments that I hear in the San Francisco F# user group. So functional programming and languages in general are quite popular here in San Francisco and Silicon Valley. We'll get visitors from all sorts of other language communities that will drop in at the F# user group. And it's really F# with type providers does something that other languages just simply can't do. So it's not just that you can write less code that's more accurate and easy to maintain, which of course you can do with F#, but it really just simply does something that you can't do in other languages. Namely, type providers provide a nice statically typed interface to this just world of data out there. And there's a demo that I like doing where I pretend to be a developer who is tasked with writing some sort of application about cricket players. And I'm here in California, and cricket is not normally played here. I don't know much about it. But using a type provider, I can connect to a database of cricket players, and I can learn the terms, and I can explore the model, the data model that I would need to implement in order to write an application without really knowing anything at all about cricket players. It's all done sort of interactively from a REPL, from a command line interface, and it allows someone to get up to speed very quickly with writing very usable code in a domain that they might not have any experience in. And this is something that you can do just right now in tryfsharp.org. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah, that's entirely right, and I love this this particular data source, this encyclopedic data that's in the TryFSharp site. One moment you can be programming, like as you say, with sporting data. You can quickly switch from baseball players over to cricket players over to other sports, and you can switch to science data. You can switch to arts, to three. There's, you know, millions of books that you can query and play with. In the site, there's tropical cyclone data. You can build up graphs of the costs of different tropical cyclones over time. And when you've spent just 20 minutes doing this, or just gone through the basic tutorials in your site, and then step back and think, how would what I have done that in any other programming language? And you think, that would have taken me days and weeks and months to do what I just did in F Sharp. And I honestly think that the ease of accessing these massive schematized data sources that we see coming up on the web these days, we've made that literally 1,000 times simpler. Now, you know, it might be like 10,000, it might be 100 times, depending on the exact experiment if you perform. But seriously, when you're going to these data sources and trying to find out, okay, where do I find out about asteroids? Okay, like not the computer game. I mean the things up in this that the astronomers deal with. And I want a table of asteroids to work with and start to visualize and then it's really 100 or 1,000 times easier to find interesting, real world, relevant data to play with it and start to analyze it than it was than it is with other programming languages.
So about the site itself, tryfsharp.org. So people listening now might think that this is just a website which allows people to tunnel into some system elsewhere, which is actually running the F Sharp compiler remotely and then sending down the results. But that's not exactly how it's implemented. And maybe this is a question for Evelyn. Or anyone else, feel free to pick this up. But what actually happens when people hit this site, tryfsharp.org? How is actually the compiler run in a user's browser?
Kenji, do you want to take that one?
Yeah, sure. So the tryfsharp site is all written in HTML5, so you can use it on any device. But in order to provide, you know, the best experience, particularly with IntelliSense, okay, so what's great with tryfsharp is we have full IntelliSense in a web browser, okay. And so in order to do that, we have to host the compiler client side actually in the web browser. And so once we do that, then actually nothing's being sent up into the cloud. All of that compilation is being done in IntelliSense. The REPL in the browser is all done locally in your browser. But of course, we can leverage all of these information sources all over the web. So.
Right. So just to underline that point, it's actually running the compiler client side in a browser and not sort of remotely and tunneling back and forth.
So
Evelyn, your background is in data science, and there's this thing called the semantic web. It's been talked about for a while. What can you tell us about F-Sharp's utility there with the semantic web and data science?
Yeah, I think so. What makes really exciting for the semantic web community is really actually the notion of type providers that Don was talking about earlier when we look at F-Sharp 3.0. Because the semantic web community these days, who's been working, as you mentioned, like for quite a few years, is now focusing a lot actually on these efforts about the opendata.gov in the US, for instance, in other countries, actually worldwide, which is about like bringing data and making it open so that you can actually start to make sense of data and answer questions for the government, such as, is US healthcare cost effective? And so the way we are working right now with the Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute and with some students there, where they are building capstones and they are using those type providers to program against a variety of data that they have actually on open, on the open government data sites. And so, and that enables to go from just plain text data to actually very schematized data. The type of examples that Don gave, such as, for instance, Freebase. And so that's really what makes it exciting, is now that you are able to work with a variety of data sources and do that and start programming in your browser in a very easy way and start seeing some results, right? Because in tryfsharp.org, we also bring some visualizations. And that's what makes it really exciting for the semantic web community, is being able to answer questions much more easily and faster than if you had to go and work with different environments.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the visualizations available in tryfsharp.org because they're quite impressive. Let's back up a second, though, and address what is meant by the semantic web. So I'm naive about it, and I've heard this term for a while. And as I understand it, it's that a traditional view of the web is that there are HTML tags, such as the paragraph tag, the div tag, the heading tag, that just do markup on text. But it doesn't really give any meaning to the text that you're actually displaying. And the semantic web would use different tags to actually give meaning to the data that's presented there. And this allows other tools, such as F-sharp, to go in and actually extract data from or work with the meaning of the data that's being displayed. Do I have that under, right?
Yes, absolutely. It's really about like starting bringing some meaning to the data. And there are other efforts, not just the semantic web, but also like, for instance, schema.org, which is trying to go also in that direction, right? It's about bringing more semantics.
Right. Right. So there's this huge sea of just unstructured information out there on the web. The semantic web is bringing some structure to that, and F-sharp is a great tool for exploring that structure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So Kenji, imagine I'm a developer who's not used F-sharp at all, and I want to go to tryfsharp.org and take some of the tutorials for a test drive. Let's say I don't even have a book yet about F-sharp or anything. What can you tell us about what I could learn on tryfsharp.org?
Yeah, sure. So basically, when you hit the homepage, it looks something like this, and you just want to hit this big button that says Learn, right? Okay, so the clue's in the title. And so we got a half a dozen tutorials, and you know, if you're a programmer, you just want to get in and see what the syntax looks like, you can just kind of hit Getting Started, and you know, we've got a really quick just beginner's guide, and you can just go in here, and you can just do, you know, 3 plus 4, and you get the, in the bottom right, again, you get the REPL, so you're immediately seeing the answers here. So really basic stuff, right? Values and bindings, how we do variables. So, you know, that'll take you like 10, 15 minutes, okay, and then you're programming in F-sharp. And then you can go into some of the more advanced techniques, and this is a bit more about kind of the real kind of beauty of functional programming, you know, things like computation expressions. So this is getting into sort of the essence of what functional programming is, okay? So if you really like that kind of syntax-led approach of like, I just want to see what code looks like and start playing with it, then we got some great tutorials there. If you're the kind of person who actually likes to jump into problems, then this data science tutorial is, this is the one that just drills down on type providers, okay, and it goes through and we can program against, you know, the World Bank, we can program against things like Freebase, and we got some great tutorials here. Actually, we can program against the Azure Data Marketplace. So if you've not used the Azure Data Marketplace, there's just a whole bunch of cool stuff on there, data, but also services, so translation service, for instance, that actually allows you to you know, translate between languages as a service. You can do all that in the browser. So this data science tutorial is really the one on type providers. We've got a couple ones we talked a bit about, you know, talking about finance and things, and so in financial computing, if you're interested in that, and how do you, you know, price stock options, for instance, you can go in here, and there's a whole tutorial that shows you kind of what those, you know, bank people do in terms of trying to do strategies for stock options. So a whole bunch of really interesting tutorials, you know, you can pick and choose, dive in, dive out, kind of as you see fit.
So, right, we make a distinction between F-sharp, the language, which is open source, and there are many contributors, of which Microsoft employees, including Don, we're in that mix. And we make a distinction between that and Visual F-sharp, the product from Microsoft. And it sounds like there are some really great integrations between Visual F-sharp and Azure. So moving over to Evelyn, what do you maybe you could just summarize the benefits of tryfsharp.org for our listeners.
Sure. So tryfsharp allows the researchers, the programmers, the data scientists, and also the student community, the academic community, to easily learn the fundamentals of fsharp 3.0, and doing that via all the great tutorials that we have on tryfsharp.org. It's also about writing code directly into your browser, look at and exploring semantically rich data sets, a variety of data sets, and last but not least, being able to share your experience and the code with other people in the community. So go and try tryfsharp. That is my message.
Yeah, and as you were summarizing that for us, Kenji is doing some visualizations in TriFSharp.org and TriFSharp.org on the screencast here. So if you're listening just audio only, you might want to download the video feed too, and take a look at what Kenji's doing there, showing type providers and some really cool visualizations. Doing this all on the browser. And what can you tell us, Evelyn, which might be coming down the pike? So what's next for you guys?
Yes, so we are engaging with the community. We are going at events. So look at the page also of Tribe Sharp, the project page, where we can see where the people who are working on that are going. We have some projects on the financial world we are working on the data science world also. We are starting more and more programs there. So a good place to go, well, one is, of course, to try TribeSharp is tribesharp.org. And the other place to find out about upcoming activities is on the project page on microsoftresearch.com.
Great stuff. Jerry, any final remarks?
No, it just makes sense to me that as developers are seeing those scenarios in their projects that make them think about, you know, this is the right application for F-Sharp. F-Sharp is that way, is that ramp for them, really, to be able to become proficient in it, be able to test some of what they're thinking, whether or not it can really play out the way it wants. TriFSharp is put together to help you learn not just the syntax, but the interactions, as well as to make F-Sharp more accessible so that you can start integrating that in the solutions that you have today. Thanks for watching.